In the face of the extraordinary attack on southern Israel this past weekend, Israel's long-divided government has agreed to govern together. An emergency unity government and a wartime cabinet were formed in response to the gruesome assault by Hamas fighters, who killed at least 1,300 people in Israel and took hostages back to Gaza, including children and the elderly. Israel has responded with a barrage of airstrikes, and now more than 1,350 people in Gaza are now dead, and some 5,800 are wounded. That, according to health officials in Gaza. Israel has now called up hundreds of thousands of reservists, apparently in preparation for a possible ground offensive. At this critical moment, we turn to former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
So, Prime Minister, there's going to be plenty of time to look backwards, but if just one question about how this happened. You're a former general, a former Israel Defense Forces chief of the general's staff. How did this happen?
It's a major failure of our intelligence, major failure of our operational response. And the failures go up to the top of the political leadership. But all these should be clarified once the shooting ends. We are now at war, and we are focused on eliminate any operational capabilities of Hamas whatsoever. And in this regard, change the surrounding threats from the Gaza Strip. And we are defined species. We are united in at war and in any threatening crisis. Hmm. And we will win.
I see. So forgive me, your phone line is a little difficult at the moment. So on to my next question. Mr. Prime Minister, you led the Labour Party for years. You're now with the Israel Democratic Party. Of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is with a different party, the Likud Party. One assumes that the point of a coalition is to assert unity at a time like this, as you just mentioned. But is there a way in which you hope, that the coalition might shape the next steps of the response?
Yeah, it's not a unity government. It's an emergency government that probably put into extremely weak cabinet. Netanyahu has a coalition of extreme right-wingers, and there are very few people who understand anything about security. So the emergency cabinet added two former chiefs of staff, one of them even former defense minister, Gantz and Eisenkot. And it adds a lot of experience and common sense and a kind of cool-headed decision-making to this the leading of the war. Especially, it's a need, urgent need of the forces who are going to fight. As you mentioned, we mobilized over 300,000 reservists, and to the whole population to sleep better. Mm-hmm. At night, because Netanyahu has experience, but he lost the trust of the people following this big blunder of this event and whatever led to it.
So you're saying that Netanyahu has lost the confidence of the people. The purpose of this unity government is to assure the citizens that the best minds are at work here. Is that correct?
Not exactly. It's basically the second element. Hmm. It's made for, first of all, objectively, it's made a much more kind of a cabinet with a gravitas. There are four people there who understand what's meant to run a war. And that gives confidence to the public and especially to the forces who are going probably to end up in battle in short, relatively short time.
Hmm.
So the political aspect, I don't think that it's proper to discuss it too intensively right now. We have to focus on war. I am a harsh critic of Netanyahu all along the recent years, and it will not disappear. The moment the fire will stop or shooting would stop, the whole issues, the political issues, and under a heavy burdens with Netanyahu and his government will emerge.
So So let's turn to the situation on the ground here. Israel, as we have reported, has cut off power, water, food, electricity to the Gaza Strip. The power plant in Gaza is now out of fuel. The question emerges is that there are many civilians there who have nothing to do with Hamas. One could argue that they are also hostages. Elections haven't been held there in 16 years, so one cannot argue that Hamas has any kind of a mandate there. Is the Israeli government willing to ensure the safety of civilians?
We are unlike the Hamas, so the murderous barbarian organization, a kind of Daesh or ISIS-like organization, which should be eliminated from this region. But having said that, of course there are civilians there whose losses or burden we are trying to minimize. But it's a tough operation taken under many, many constraints. And one of them is the need to follow the international law. Hmm. And we are committed to the international law. We are a democracy and we are accountable to international bodies. And we will try our best to achieve our objective while taking into account the international laws.
Is there an opportunity to provide safe passage for civilians, including members of other nationalities who are trapped in Gaza? Is that something that is being considered?
Yeah, I think we cannot run a negotiation over the radio, but I'm sure that any government will have such a problem, and not just letting citizens of our nationality out, but even to make sure that, for example, Some essentials of treatment of a hospital will not be in short supply, or milk for babies. I don't think that we are trying to block this kind of element of humanitarian basics.
That is the former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Barak. Mr. Barak, it is indeed an honor to speak with you at this time. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, and maybe we can hope for better days in the future.
I do hope so.